Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Raj Punjabi, head of identity content at HuffPost.
And I'm Noah Michelson, head of HuffPost Personal.
Welcome to Am I Doing It Wrong, the show that explores the all too human anxieties we have about trying to get our lives right.
So I feel like I know the answer to this question already, but I'm going to ask you anyways. How wrong have you been throwing parties?
Come on. You look at me.
I know,
look at my face.
I know.
I throw a lit party.
Yeah.
I love throwing parties and I think I'm very good at them. I have good food. There's often Popeyes there. Mm. The dance floor is always lit. You know, I would give myself a high A. What about you?
I've only recently started throwing them because I lived in a tiny apartment like many of us do in New York.
Yep.
And so I could invite like one small person and a squirrel over at the same time.
You know, fun.
I mean, that maybe would be a fun party. But yeah, now I have a bigger place with Benji. And so we had a game night a couple weeks ago or a month ago. And that was really fun. But I don't know that I'm great at it. So I would like to get better.
I think we're both pretty good at throwing our little events, but we can always be better. So today we've got Disha Dyer with us. She's the former White House Social Secretary for the Obama administration and the author of the new book, Undiplomatic: How My Attitude Created the Best Kind of Trouble. She's going to spill tea about partying with Barack and Michelle, of course, and she's going to help us figure out how we can throw our best parties ever.
Let's party.
Let's do it. Okay, Disha, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here. I wish I was in the with you all, actually, but this is a close second. But this
I'm going to throw a party after this, and then we can all be together.
There we go.
Okay. I'm here for it. Hop right on 95. I'm here.
All right. First things first. You were the White House Social Secretary for everyone's favorite Prezi. I'm just going to put that out there. What was it like throwing parties and events for President Obama and his squad?
I mean, it was fabulous. I mean, if anybody could imagine, we have like a cool president, you know, who was very much into culture and partying and entertaining. And so I didn't have to convince either one of them, the president or the first lady, to do cool stuff or to like try new ideas, because they were just always open and up for anything. And so I got super lucky that I was the last social secretary. I was at the end. So at that point, some of the properness that we, the stuffiness wore off. We got to have a lot of fun.
Wait, but how the hell do you even get that job?
Sometimes I'm like, what happened? I actually was a White House intern at 31 years old. I went back to college in 2007, and I had I was not into politics at all. But then I had applied for an internship, got the internship in 2009, then got full-time hired at the White House in 2010, and then just kept getting promoted. And then finally finally the last job was social secretary. I was deputy before that. And they were just like, you used to be a music journalist. I was really into the hip hop and dance scene. I was really into gathering people for community. So all those things I did for fun just came back to help me out in the end. And they were like, you know, you're the one for it. Let's go. Let's do it. And I was like, let's do it. I had no idea what this job was. I'd never heard of it before. And so that's how I got it.
What were some of your favorite moments? Who are some of your favorite people that you got to work with?
Yeah, I would say that I'm an 80s kid. Mm. So like I was born in 78. And so I grew up with the whole Prince, Madonna, Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson era. And when we had Prince come through the White House, I lost my everlasting mind. Like I almost forgot that I had a job. Like it was like he was standing right in front of me. And I was like, does anybody else, like the impact of this moment? And then like Stevie Wonder walks in the room to say hi to Prince. And I'm like, and then Bruce Springsteen walks in the room and I'm like, how in the hell did I like, and I'm in charge of making sure these people get to, like, they're looking at me for direction. And right. I was just like, I think at some point the president probably was like, Disha, I think I zoned out, like, like this is my childhood in one room, you know? So I would say that that was probably my favorite when Prince came to perform. You know, I always loved, like, I always did like black shit. Like I always had like HBCU marching bands, drum lines. Like I did all that stuff. Cause I was like, when is this ever going to happen again? Right. So
real talk,
you know, yeah. Like I was, you know, people were swag surfing on the lawn. Like I was that one. So I would say that like, yeah, some of those are my favorite famous people. But then like we did stuff like for Hamilton.
Yes.
We had the cast of Hamilton come to the White House. Mm-hmm. And in the audience, we did all like teachers, social workers, counselors who could not afford like the $400, $500, whatever the hell the ticket was. And so we really like focused on that. Was really dope, like that they got to like kind of be in the audience for that. So like having regular people come through was also really great too. So yeah.
All right. I have a just quick juicy one.
Yeah.
Who parties harder? Okay. Barack or Michelle?
Ooh.
That's...
Is that confidential?
That's such a hard one. I would say, I mean, you have to define what harder party harder is. Okay. I mean, I would say that, I mean, Michelle Obama, I call it Emma, she can like get down on the dance floor. She's dancing all, like she loves dancing. But Barack Obama loves walking around the crowd, making sure everybody's okay. Like, is everyone good? So I would say if I had to choose, I would choose probably her. It's probably a more, you know, defining, you know, party harder, but also like we never raged at big parties because we never knew like who had their phone out or who you know. So it was always like we got to be a little tame until like, you know, they get upstairs or whatever with private friends and they could do whatever they want. So
well, I guess I would love for us to move into now how we get to throw a party and do it right or do it better than we have been. And I think the best place to start is just like creating a guest list, wouldn't you say, Raj?
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts about that, Disha? How do you start at the very beginning when you're thinking about having a party? What should we keep in mind?
So I think for me, it depends on what kind of party, but I think in general, what I always say is like, invite the friendlies first, like the people who don't mind, like, you know, making new friends. Like there's this whole no new friends. And it's like, what, are you going to come to a party and sit in the corner or like turn your nose up? Like what a bad vibe. Like your energy is just off. Why are you here? Mm-hmm. Like you should have stayed at home. So I think like after like inviting people like that and like seeing them, I'm like, they're not coming back. So first for me is like the friendlies, the people that are just like, oh, hey, like, I don't know you, but like dope that we're both here or like can start a conversation. And it's not to say that I don't invite people who were shy, but there's a difference between like turning your nose up and like being shy. Like being shy is not a problem. Like some people just, you know, they're not like, takes them a second, a few drinks or whatever. Like that's all good. So I think I start there, like with the friendlies. And then I like try to be exclusive. Like who hasn't been invited to these kind of parties? Like, you know, we spoke earlier about like the LGBT parties and they were like great, but a lot of times it was like a lot of white gay men. And it was like, well, like we don't really have a lot of trans women of color. We don't really have a lot of black lesbians. Like, let's invite them in. So like trying to see like who has not been included before, who like deserves to be in that room, and just like inviting them from there. But I would say like the no new friends people, I can't. They can have their own dinner party at home. Like, I can't.
Mm-mm. You know, I consider Noah and I the friendlies. I feel like we get invited to stuff because we like to talk to people. Completely. I love asking strangers questions.
I like having that in the back of your head, too. Like, when you're making your guest list, knowing you're going to have three or four of those people that can sort of talk to anyone who are going to coax people out of the corner and sort of like your secret weapon.
Yes.
That you can rely on them because you're going to be busy like refilling the drinks or whatever.
Yes.
You know, there's people who are like your proxy and they're going to make the party fun.
What else would we want to do far in advance? Like you said that you guys plan parties and events way ahead of time. What are the things we need to do early and not leave for the last minute? Because I'm a last minute queen. Yeah.
Yeah. What I would say is like to save the dates. Like I'm obsessive about telling people the dates early because so much is happening, right? Like so much is happening, especially like summertime when outside it's warm and like, everything is like, or holiday time when there's all these holiday parties. So I'm like, hey, like I save the date. Like this is happening this date. So then people have it locked in of anything. So like, you know that you're going to have people there because they have it on the calendar. I think waiting until the last minute to tell people a date, like people are just like, I'm sorry, I'm already committed or I'm whatever. And you're just like, oh man. So I would say that's definitely something for me that I do early. The other thing is the stuff that costs the most, like the food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like I am very much like, how much is this going to cost me? Like, let me make sure I get the food down and then make sure I get like the drinks down because that's like my big money part of like, you know, do I have money to pay for that? Like, do I need to adjust other things? But nothing's worse than the surprise at the end of like, oh, that was $30,000. And you're like, I didn't know that. Well, like you should have known that because you should have kind of got that beforehand. So those are like the things that I do like far, far, far in advance. Just to make sure, number one, that I'm not going to be broke and that people will show up, you know? So those are the two things for me, I think, that are important.
Nothing is worse than a big surprise bill. I will tell you that. I never learn. That's so, so true. Like, I think with anything, like if you go on vacation or whatever, like do the expensive stuff first.
Completely. And then you forgot that you even paid for it. You don't have to worry about it. I love when you like book a hotel 6 months in advance and then it's already done. But I think that's smart. Even if you're not dealing with a $30,000 bill, if a $200 grocery bill for most of us is going to knock us out, you know? Cool. So I think that's 100%, smart.
100%. Those are the things I do early.
I love the idea too of like a save the date. And it doesn't have to be formal. You don't have to send.
You can text someone. Right? Yeah.
But I love having something to look forward to myself. So if I know that there's a party coming up in 3 weeks, I'm living for that party. I'm so excited. And like, it gets me through like, you know, the drudgery of the weeks before. So that's a great reason to do it too.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
What do you think about drinks? So do you think people need to have a full bar? How do you feel about like a signature cocktail? What is your strategy for drinks at a party?
Well, I'm, and my husband, thank God he is not on here. I signature cocktailed our wedding to death to the point that he was like, yeah, like this is, you're being excessive. I'm like, but one for every era. How fun is that of our lives? He was like, he's like, this sounds dreadful. Like he also honestly also knocked down a lending library I wanted. He was like, not everything has to be a social cause. I'm like, does it? But for cocktails, I love signature cocktails. So I feel like you can change them to the theme of whatever the thing is, like whatever, if it's a wedding, if it's a book party, if it's a whatever. And then you can put them like, you know, like for our wedding, we made them like our middle names. And it was like a cocktail after each city we were in because I'm ridiculous. And it was great. I mean, it was fun, but I think that they're always fun to have. I think a full bar to me is not necessary, but you're also talking to somebody who doesn't drink anymore. So I think that is just, it's a lot. And what happened at our wedding is we had a lot of leftover, like we had a lot of unopened bottles. More people either had the signature cocktail that we had pre-batched or they used the ingredients from the signature cocktail to create something else. Right. You know what I mean? So I feel like you don't need that, but you definitely need the non-alcoholic options. And I'm yeah. saying that now that I don't drink.
You know, as your friendly neighborhood lush, I have to say, I have to chime in and say that I love a full bar because everyone has their drink, like their like liquor of choice. And of course, non-alcoholic, but also it's kind of what you're saying that you want to pay attention to who your guests are yeah. and tailor mm-hmm. accordingly. Like I generally don't have gin at my parties because my friends don't drink gin that much. Right. Tequila yeah. must be there in abundance because they love tequila. So it's just like thinking about who's invited.
I think for drinks too, like if you're not going to have a full bar, you know, you pick maybe one clear and one brown alcohol, yes. have some yes. beer. And then also you can tell people too, like, here's what I'm going to have. If you have something you love and you want to bring a bottle, do that. Or if you want to bring the wine that you love to drink, bring that. And so I think there are ways to do it too, where you don't have to pay $1,000 to outfit an entire full bar
yes.
and everyone can still be happy at the party.
And I think that strategy is good because people are going to sometimes want to bring stuff anyway. Yep. So might as yep. well plan.
Yeah.
And you build your bar, like you build your own personal, it's like a gift they bring and like, they're not going to take it back. And exactly. so I think that it also builds your bar up for the next party. So yes. you're not having to buy a bunch of things. But I love, Raj, like the knowing your friends too, like you get to know what they drink. I love that.
Yeah. yeah. Disha, I love what you said about kind of being aware and helpful to your friends who don't drink, who are, you know, intentional mm-hmm. drinkers or sober or whatnot. How do we make these folks feel more comfortable at your party where there is going to be alcohol flowing?
Yeah, definitely. I think number one is just like, you know, I don't have the kind of friends that like make fun of people like, oh, you're not drinking. Like, you know, but so I'm very lucky in that way. But I think that just like making sure that you invite people who are like respectful of that. They're not going to be like, God, just have one. Like, why aren't you doing yeah. that? But I think also like for our signature cocktails, even we had like a non-alcoholic one that so people felt just as fancy or included, whatever. And it's very small, but I know that when I go somewhere, like I'm like, oh, the mocktails are right here. I don't have to ask for them. I don't have to flip to the back. I don't got to get a special menu. So I think that just making it like as public as you do everything else, like your signature cocktails or anything like that, having the option of like a non-alcoholic beer and then like a non-alcoholic like drink. And so like not having one option. So sometimes you go somewhere, it's like, here's your one option. You're like it's like lavender spritz. And you're like, yeah, I don't really fuck with I don't mess with lavender, you know? And so I'm just like, oh, I don't want that. And not to be picky, but it's just like the alcoholic folks, they have all the yeah. options. You know what I mean? I'm like, can I at least get 2 to 3? That's not. So sometimes I'm just like, I'll take club soda with lemon, you know, mm-hmm, just like mm-hmm. just lemon and lime to be spicy, you know? Yeah. So I think it's just like, that's how I think that we can do that. And making sure that people know that those options. And if there's a bartender serving that, like, you know, they present the options if asked, you know, in a way that's not like, oh, why aren't you drinking? I think is the best way.
I've also been to parties now. I think it's getting more and more common too, to have an option that isn't alcohol, but is like weed or
yeah.
mm-hmm.
you want to microdose on mushrooms. Like it's, there are so many different options now. Yes. And I think having yes. all of that in mind too, and just meeting people where they're at and sort of, mm-hmm. but I love what you said about just making it seem as normal as the yeah. other options and
yeah.
not making people feel weird about not yeah. drinking or whatever else.
That's not everyone's yeah. drug of choice,
yep.
you know?
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly.
100%. Or hookah or like, and also yeah. not having alcohol as the main focus. Like yeah. I have some other things. So like we're not just all standing around just at the bar drinking. And there's some occasions where that's fine, but like make it so that's not the center of the party. You know what I mean? Like yeah. what else is there, you know, like don't give me chips and salsa and a full bar.
Right.
Give me some more food, you know? So, yeah.
So what are your thoughts on food? How much when you're throwing a party and not a White House party, but just a normal party and it's not a dinner party, how much do you think food should be a part of it? What are you usually laying out for people?
Definitely. So I'm definitely extra. I got issues. And so I'm very much, I mean, I'm also Black. So it's very much like put food out for 100 people for a 20-person party. So I think for me, making sure you have options just like, you know, for the vegans, the vegetarians and the gluten-frees. And I know as a part of somebody who throws a party, that can be annoying. Like I understand that, but But it's also like, what's even worse is seeing your guests standing around, like not being able to eat, having to order different food or whatever. So I think that for me, I try to have universal dishes, like a few that are for everybody. You know what I mean? Like whether it is some kind of dip or whether it's like a veggie thing or whether it's whatever it is, I try to have like a universal thing. I think that depending on the kind of party it is, I'm a very much like, I love having guest chefs or friends that are chefs, like paying them a fee to kind of come up with a menu. I love being able to showcase like students that are in restaurant school and all that. Like I'm that kind of person.
Yeah.
That's just like, I can't afford a full like fancy Michelin star chef, but like, can I get like, you know, the restaurant school, like how dope is that? So I'm a very much, you know, serving universal options, things that aren't always with your hands after COVID, like,
yeah. Yeah.
That's just, people are just nasty. And even people you love are nasty.
Food is so important to me at a party too. And I always, yes. I love a highbrow, lowbrow. Like if I can afford one fancy thing, cool. But I often have Popeyes. Like I get Popeyes chicken strips and chop them up and put little toothpicks in them.
I love
and
that.
I make them fancy.
Yep.
It's my job. And also who doesn't like, whoever, you know, chicken lovers love Popeyes. And like, it's the best.
Here's the thing. So my old roommate was a stylist and she did Beyonce's American Express commercial. And the catering on the commercial was like Cheetos and fried chicken. And it was, the idea was like, this is what people want to eat. Like people don't want fancy food all the time. And I love that.
They don't want it all the time.
And I think like meeting people where they are and like having a good time.
Yes.
You know?
And I think that the other thing is like, there's this nostalgia to like Doritos. Like I put out Doritos and people aren't people don't normally eat like Doritos, like Cool Ranch anymore. So when they get it, they're just like, oh my gosh, like I remember this from back in the day.
Yeah.
But speaking of Popeyes, I did a party where it was like a biscuit bar and I got all biscuits from Popeyes. And I had like different, like just regular jelly, not nothing fancy, regular syrup, regular honey. And I just literally ordered 60 biscuits from Popeyes. And it was like, people were just like, oh my gosh, like, you know what I mean? Like, this is like, I love this. Cause sometimes you just want to chill with something good and not be like, how many calories or how, like,
You're at a party.
You're having fun. You know what I mean? So I love the Popeyes idea.
That is a great idea.
You know, I think we can all agree that like putting intention into what you put out is super important. I think that's an age and privilege thing too, because when I was younger, I just didn't care because I just couldn't afford it. And like, you know, my friends knew, we were all at the same kind of headspace. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, must have, you know, something where people leave full and happy, you know?
Yes.
Because having a party or hosting a party, it really is that you want to show your love for people.
You do, that's
right?
It.
And you want to take care of them. You want them to feel special.
Yes.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This episode is sponsored by Storyworth.
There's some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. From hilarious to heartfelt, her stories always keep me entertained, and I love hearing about her life. Just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious moments and stories from your mom or mother figure for years to come.
So here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. Like, what is one of your favorite holiday memories? Or, if you could see into the future, what would you want to find out?
Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
Then you're going to be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know, or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. You can even keep a copy of the book for yourself.
You know, Raj, I can't wait to have my mom start her Storyworth journey. Having her stories and memories preserved forever is really an incredible gift. Not just for me and my brothers, but for my nephews, too.
I love that. And families love Storyworth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago.
So give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, you can save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/dowrong. That's storyworth.com/dowrong to save $10 on your first purchase.
Welcome back to Am I Doing It Wrong?
All right, let's talk about our guests, okay? Because how do we make sure that everyone's kind of mingling together, having a great time? I'm kind of controlling about that stuff. I want everyone to leave like with a new best friend. What's your advice on that?
Yeah. See, the thing is I'm that same way exactly. I'm like, you know, I want people to leave being like, I've met this really great person or love of my life or whatever. But I think that I was a little bit probably OCD about it and like, you know, forcing people. I was like, oh, you know, you guys have something in common, talk. And I go away. And my husband would be like, Deesha, now you've made it awkward. You know what I mean? Like, and so I think that for me is I become part of the conversation. I'm like, two people have something in common and they're standing near each other. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, and I'll bring up whatever subject it is. Say it's just like marching bands. You both were in marching bands. So I'll just bring it up like, oh my gosh, I was too, blah, 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 blah. That's crazy. And I'm like, oh, so-and-so's here. And then I'll leave the conversation to leave them naturally having a convo versus like forcing them to have a conversation. And so I think that that's how I do it. But I'm also hella awkward where I'll just call it out and be like, well, this is kind of weird. Like, y'all just sitting here not talking. And then it kind of breaks the ice a little bit. But I think that naturally people will have a good time when you invite the right people. Like when you invite people who are the talkers and keep the no new friends crowd away. I think you naturally get that. But everybody came there to have a good time. So I think their intention is like set that they didn't come to have a bad time. So it's just like, just keep the mood light. Talk about like fun things. Talk about the food. Talk about like what you're watching on TV, like most likely that always brings up a conversation and debate, but keep it light. I think where people make mistakes when they go to heavy stuff, keep it light. And if it naturally goes somewhere with like two people, then that's fine. But I think that that's how I try to do that. Keep people having a good time.
I love that idea. Like one of your jobs as the host is like to be lubricating conversations.
Yes.
And not mm-hmm. to spend your entire time there, but like know when you can artfully, you know, pull yourself away.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading mm-hmm. this thing in an article when I was prepping for this, and their advice was, I guess there was some secret society in San Francisco, and the rule that they had at the secret society's gatherings was you could never pour your own drink.
Oh.
And the idea was that by having someone else pour your drink, you automatically would just sort of get into conversation.
Engage with them, yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that has to be like the rule that you use, but like having some of those things where like there are just organic ways for people to meet each other and start chatting. Sometimes that's all it takes is getting people talking.
Yeah.
And then they go off with it. You know?
That's a very organic icebreaker. Do you guys believe in icebreakers in general at parties? My friend was once at a party and she told me that the host asked everyone to tell them a poop story.
Oh, wow.
That was the icebreaker. Tell me your craziest poop story. It ended up people laughing and screaming and having the best time because everyone told a crazy poop story. And she said that everyone was scream laughing and had gotten real intimately familiar in the span of like 20 minutes.
See, I just think that that's too aggressive. If you're with your best friends, maybe, and then you want to do that, but then you're not breaking the ice. I just feel like if I don't know 80% of the people in the room. I don't know if I'm going to go straight for my poop story.
I'm not either. I only like to talk about poop on this podcast with this audience.
Right.
Yeah, not at a party. But, you know, icebreakers.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. I mean, I would definitely play along because I'm a team player.
What do you think are some things that people overlook before the party starts and when they're throwing a party? I have to tell you my number one thing. I went to a friend's party back in November, probably. They didn't clean their toilet.
When
I mean they didn't clean their toilet, I mean like they did not clean their toilet. And I was just like, what's wrong with you? You know that many people are going to be using this.
Yeah.
And you've obviously used it aggressively recently. Speaking of poop stories. And so I think that that's my thing. Like just.
Y'all need to see my face right now. This is so crazy.
You don't need to. Yeah. You don't have to like, you know, hire Mary maids and do the entire apartment. But like, I think there are certain things like wipe down the toilet, you know. Oh, yeah. But what do you think, Deesha?
Please.
This is very small, but where to put your coats and umbrellas. Mm. And I say that because when you walk in, it's always a weird, when sometimes guests walk in, it's always a weird, they take off their coat and then it's like, where does it go? And where is it? And you're looking around, especially if it's a small space, it's like, does it go on the bed? And some people don't like that. Does it go on the back of the chair where it ends up like looking like a coat room in the, where you're having the party? Like, and even if it's raining, where do the umbrellas go? And it doesn't seem that big of a deal until you get into a space where like, then you walk in and you see a pile of coats. And that's like not, like what are these pile of coats doing there? Again, if it's a small space, that's fine. But carve out something so you don't look like Burlington Coat Factory. Like it's not like, I think that that's something for me that I'm always just like, where do the coats go? And then sometimes I'm like the guest who sees another guest coming in and I end up being coat check. Oh, well, you can put it over here and you don't want your guest doing that. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's like one thing. It's just like, where do the coats and umbrellas go? And if you're a no-shoe household or whatever, where do the shoes go? Like, how is this? Just get that out the way so we can have more space to gather and enjoy each other and sit down without moving somebody's coat, their shoes, their umbrella, their hat. Like, it's just, that's just, that is a little pet peeve of mine.
I get that.
Yeah, and we're, you know, small spaces is a thing. I love when people take their shoes off at my home. And last time I had a party, I remember the shoe pile was so big that people were like tripping at the front door. And I was like, wow, I have a New York City apartment. Yeah, I should have thought of that ahead. I don't know what I would have done, but like something I would have done.
Yeah. How do y'all feel about pets at a party?
Oof.
Yay or nay?
Well, I think the thing is that if you're going to somebody's house who has a pet, then like you should know that. I don't, besides obviously pets that are needed for ability reasons, I'm not a fan because I love animals. I'm on the Board of Humane Society, little plug. But however, you don't know who's allergic. You don't know, you don't know any of that stuff. And I just feel like bringing pets into somebody's space, unless it's like your dog park crew is meeting for a party, then like, I'm not a fan of that. I don't think that that's
like bringing your pet as a guest, you mean?
Wait, yeah, no, definitely sorry. Not.
Yeah,
guests bringing their pets.
Right, right.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. I think having a dog running around can actually be one of the things that helps people mingle, you know, like you put some attention on the dog. But I think you're right. I think you need to let guests know that you have a dog.
Yeah.
So if they haven't been to your place before, you don't know them that well, that's something you can put on the save the date, as well as like bring, you know, if you bring whatever liquor you want or whatever you want to enjoy, but also I have a dog.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's really important too. Allergies, you know, definitely. I have a cat. Many people are allergic to cats. Everyone knows about Gina, et cetera. But also, like, if you have a skittish pet, like, you don't want them to get freaked out with all these people. Like, I put Gina in her favorite place, which is the closet, and she, like, loves it in there, and she's so happy. And then when people leave, she's like, I heard all the gossip from the same place.
I got the tea.
I got the tea.
You can say pets are welcomed, and in that way, people can make the decision for themselves, too, of, like, I'm not going to, you know, attend, I'm allergic or whatever. So I think that you can have that, but also like have a whole plan for your pets to go to the bathroom, pets to go to the bathroom, you know, like keep them out the kitchen. Don't be having your cat hopping up on by the food. Like,
Yeah. So, you know, I have generally a humble budget when I'm throwing a soiree, but I still want my space to feel, my very small apartment, to feel welcoming. And now, like, in an ideal world, I would love Le Labo candles and, like, a violinist, right? I just wanted, like, vibes, vibes, vibes. But, like, how do I do that in my small apartment on my small budget? How do I make you walk in and you feel like, whoa, this space is beautiful and welcoming?
Mm-hmm. This is what I say. Number one, I say lighting. Like, you don't have to turn on all the lights in your house or turn off all the lights. You can, if you have lamps in your place, you can move them about the space in which people are going to be and, like, you know, put one in the corner and turn it on. That might be a nice lighting versus the overhead light, right? And so I think that using your lamps and your lights very, like, meticulously, I think is a big thing. But also, do not discount those tea candles that are, like, you can buy 100 for, like, whatever they are, those little tea lights, like having those tea lights and putting them around, like, they're, you know, I know we have them and they come up to like 35 cents a thing after we buy the whole package of them, and put them in like glasses with some water and put them around too. Like, I think that that's super dope. But I also think that, like, especially around New York, there's a lot of really nice flowers and like, you can just go out and pick stuff that obviously is not somebody else's garden, but you can obviously just go out and pick stuff to make your own like flowers around the space. But I feel like lighting has saved me a lot. Like, we just move our lamps around.
What are your thoughts about bringing a gift? What do you think? Should we do it? And also, what are some unexpected ones besides just here's a bottle of liquor or here are some flowers?
Yeah, I think that I always like bringing a gift for the host, even if it's just flowers or whatever. But I'm also not, I don't like waste. And so like, I don't like bringing stuff that somebody's gonna be like, oh, look, a beautiful heart paperweight, like, or a beautiful ashtray. Nobody smokes anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that for me, I like just bringing that. And if I don't, like, if it's a last minute and I'm running late, I will always send an actual thank you card in the mail. So I'm a very much thank you card in the mail person. But I also really like things that make somebody's life easier, like of convenience. So whether that is the typical coffee card, whether it's an Uber gift card, and it could be $10, $5. I used to always give out $5 Starbucks cards until we realized that things cost $6. And so I'm like, oh, shit. So that kind of went. But I think that getting someone like that, I think also I like will get a frame and take a picture of I'm a sucker for group pictures. I'm like a sucker for
group
pictures.
I love group pictures.
A sucker for them, because you look at the photo and you're like, at that moment in time, everyone thought that this was the most important place to be. It was a priority for people to be together. And when you look at a photo, a lot of times that group will probably never come together again. Like, you don't realize it at the time. And so I also get a frame and I'll take a group picture, and sometimes I'll frame the photo and give it to them as a thank you as well. And they always put it up. Like, I'm a sucker for photos. And so I think like something like that, that's useful, that reminds them of the party, that makes their life a little bit easier. If they're a person that always throws parties, I think a bottle is completely fine. I went overseas I went to the Caribbean and I got like a couple bottles of white Hennessy, and like black people love white Hennessy. So all the parties I go to at a black person's house, they're like, oh, white Hennessy, because you can't get it here. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, so I have that, but I think that, that's what I try to do. I would say the frame photo of the night is a really nice thing. Even if you just get it printed out and put thank you on the back of it. And, you know, I think it's something to remember. So, yeah.
I love that you are thinking about your guests and what they would actually like versus when I'm like, candle for you.
Right. Yeah, no, totally. I also love the idea just of photos in general. I think, a good idea might be every time you go to get another drink or fill up your cup, you take a photo of the party. And I always go to parties and no one ever takes photos. We're all too busy, which is great. Yeah. We're in the moment. Yes. We're enjoying it. And I don't mean you have to be the paparazzi, but it is nice to have those memories. And so I think even if you take three photos the whole night of the group, you have those. And I think that's awesome.
You're telling everyone how old we are, because let me tell you something. My friends who are 24, 25, 26, they're just taking photos.
Yeah, that's true.
No shade. Y'all know
okay,
I love
this
you.
This is for the old people then. Take some photos.
Well, also the 21 or so, they have the throwaway cameras. Uh-huh. And so my niece brings that everywhere and I'd be like, you know, like, okay, Justice. And I look at them and I'm like, these are some nice photos. Like, yeah, they're like that grainy. So I'll do that. But the issue is it takes you forever to use the, like, it's 32 disposable pictures. I'm like, this can take me forever to use all this. You know what I mean? But so like, so, but I love just remembering the time. I'm really big on that. At our wedding, we actually framed everyone who was married. We actually got their wedding photos and we framed all of their wedding photos.
Wow.
And there was a wall of them. And we were like, you know, we are joining your, you know, your crew, whatever I said at the time. And some of them were just like, I haven't seen my wedding photo in years. Like, that's why you needed it. And they were having these memories of like, I remember this day, like, and it was like 40 something couples and we got every single wedding photo of
that's
them.
Incredible.
And it was, I love that kind of stuff of
so
just
thoughtful.
Like the memories. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Yeah. And even our guests, we did our table setting by like a photo of us and the guests, like a memory. And it was just like, that's how we sat everybody. And it was just, it took a lot of work, but I like that stuff. So
yeah.
I didn't care.
I feel like you're like an evolved version of me. Like at my last birthday party, I had maybe like 20 people there. And ahead of time, I had written everyone a little note and folded into one of those like high school football notes. And it said, one thing I love about you and one thing I wish for your new year. Aww. And I handed it to them before we went out on the town. And it was such a low effort.
That.
Thank you. It was so low effort. I did it the day before.
Yes.
But people are like, Raj, oh my God, my heart. And I'm like, I want people to know how much I love them. That's the whole party thing, right? Like you're not inviting randoms to your house.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And that's the kind of thing that's going to be more memorable and more meaningful than some of the other crazy shit you could do at your party.
Yeah.
So I love stuff like that. I think you guys are both onto something. The other thing I was going to say too is bringing a gift that you can use at the party. So maybe it's not alcohol, but my friend Caitlin is so thoughtful. The last time I had a party, she brought 2 pounds of gummy candy from the Swedish gummy store that's in Brooklyn somewhere. And like people were nibbling on it the whole night. It was great.
100%.
Yeah. You know, we had brunch a couple weeks ago and my friends got the croissants from Trader Joe's that they rise overnight and you bake them. They were incredible. Mm.
Yeah.
And they brought like a dozen croissants. So it was like something very small, very easy for them.
Yes.
But it wasn't the expected thing and everybody enjoyed it. And I thought that was great.
Yeah. We need to be Trader Joe's influencers.
They should be sponsoring this show.
You know what? I'm gonna look into that.
I guess to finish up, like I would just love to hear what you think some of the biggest mistakes people can make when they're throwing a party.
Mm.
Is there like one thing you would say, like, don't do this? I mean, my number one is like, don't forget to clean your toilet.
Clean your goddamn toilet.
That's gonna be my number one forever.
Clean your toilet. Yeah, that'd make a good poop story. I think that like, you know, I think the thing is I think that as the host, and this is so hard, is like, don't forget to enjoy your guests. Mm. I mean, like I am very much, I think the White House definitely did not help with this, is like, I'm constantly on alert of like, who has empty glass? Who needs this? Because that was for my job, right? So when I go places, I'm just like, and some people are like, why don't you sit down? Like I just did a dinner to honor Audre Lorde's 90th birthday. She would have been alive, of Black women authors. And literally before it, my friends are like, I had two friends that are not, they were not invited. They weren't authors. And they said, can we come and do it so you could sit down and enjoy the party?
Oh.
And I said, yes. But then even so, I was micromanaging and they were like, Deesha, sit down. Like, you're not enjoying your guests. So I think that one of the things is like, for us to enjoy our guests, I think is extremely important. And then I think the other thing is just to make sure that like, you have something for everybody to have a good time. There are universal songs everybody loves. Mm-hmm. There's universal food people love. There's universal stuff. Like, just keep it simple. Like, I think as, you know, we had talked about earlier and you all brought up, like, you don't have to spend a lot of money. Like Swedish fish, like is not, it's not a lot of money. Croissants are like, just people want the simplistic things. Like, and so I think that that's like, for me, like the important thing of not, you know, enjoying your guests, having something for everybody, I think is the key for me, for sure.
Love that.
Me too. Thank you so much for being here. This was really wonderful.
We love this.
Thank you all for having me. And thank you for having this fun podcast. It's so great to like, out of all the things I'm talking about with this book, it's so great to talk about like really fun stuff. So yeah, so thank you.
Thank you.
It's time for Better in 5. These are your top 5 takeaways from this episode.
Number 1, a save the date ensures that your very favorite people will lock it down in their calendar and it'll give them something to look forward to.
Number 2, When you start planning your party, make sure you figure out what your biggest expenses are going to be and then budget for them, because you don't want to blow your entire bank account.
Number three, when it comes to drinks and food, make sure you have real options, including a few great ones for people who aren't drinking or those who have allergies.
Number four, you don't want to force people to mingle. Nobody likes that. But you can find ways to organically help facilitate introductions and lead people into conversations.
Mm-hmm. And number five, the whole point of the party is for everyone to have a good time. And that includes you too. So make sure you get in there and mix it up.
I just want to note, Raj, before we even get to the end here, that there was an entire marching band playing while we recorded this. And Disha was such a trooper. And yes. Hopefully, if you all could hear it, that's what the noise is in the background. There was a marching band in Times Square going for like a half an hour.
So. Disha was a trooper. I was not. I complained. And hopefully it won't make it onto the episode. So sorry about that, guys.
But how do you feel now that we had that incredible conversation with her? Do you feel like you're going to be better at throwing parties?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think I have fun in my home, but I really want to be a little more intentional about the food and drink, about, you know, how welcome I'm making people feel. That's like more of a grown-up party, and that's what I want. What mm-hmm. about you?
I liked what she said about, you know, taking more photos. Again, I am an old man, and so I know that all the youngins are taking photos all the time, but mm-hmm. I have all these experiences, and I don't have anything to remember them by other than my memories, but it'd be nice. And the idea of, like, taking a photo and framing it for the host and giving it to them, just these little tiny things you can do that make people feel loved.
Yeah.
And that's what we want at the end of the day at a party.
Well, once we get our money really, really right, we can, you know, hire Annie Leibovitz to take pictures at a party.
And we'll hire Disha to organize our party.
Nah, she's too expensive.
Probably. Anyway, as long as there are things to get wrong, we'll be right here to help you do them better.
That's right.
Do you have something you think you're doing wrong? Email us at amidoingitwrong@huffpost.com and let us know.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.